जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा, जय गिरिवराधारी, जय गिरिवराधारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा, जय गिरिवराधारी, जय गिरिवराधारी, जय यशोदानंदन, जय ब्रज जनरंजन, जय ब्रज जनरंजन, जय यमुना तीरवनचारी, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय यमुना तीरवनचारी, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा, रामा रामा हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा, रामा रामा हरे हरे, Thank you. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Radhe Jaya Gaura Nita Gaura Nita Jaya Gauranita Jaya Gauranita Jaya Jaya Prabhupad 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad Jai Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam mudirayet nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagvata sevaya bhagavatir uttamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtuki krishnaya vasudevaya devaki nandanaya cha nandagopakumaraya govindaya namo namaha. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, Text 8. Yadrachaya matkathado Jata shraddhastuya puman Na nirvinno nati shakto Bhakti yogo sya siddhidha Yadrachaya matkathado Jata shraddhastu yappuman Na nirvino nati shakto Bhakti yogo sya siddhadhya Yadrachaya matkathado yatra chaya mat katha do jata shraddhastu yappuman na nirvinno nati shakto bhakti yogasya siddhidha. Dachya matkadado. Jata shraddhastu yappuman. Na nirvinno nati shakto. Bhakti yogosya siddhidha. Yadrachaya matkathado. Jata shraddhastu yappuman. Na nirvinno nati shakto. Bhakti yogosya siddhidha. Transliteration. Yadrachaya. Somehow or other by good fortune. Mat katha ado. In the narrations, songs, philosophy, dramatical performances that describe my glories. Jata, awakened. Shraddha, faith. Tu, indeed. Yaha, one who. Puman, a person. Na, not. Nirvinnaha, disgusted. Na, not. Atishakta, very attached. Bhakti yogaha, the path of loving devotion. Asya, his. Siddhidha, will award perfection. Translation. If somehow or other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, such a person, being neither very disgusted nor attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. Purport. If somehow or other, one gets the association of pure devotees of the Lord and hears from them the transcendental message of Lord Krishna, then one has the chance to become the devotee of the Lord. As mentioned in the previous verse, those who become disgusted with material life take to impersonal philosophical speculation and rigorously try to stamp out any trace of personal existence. Those who are still attached to material sense gratification try to purify themselves by offering the fruits of their ordinary activities to the Supreme. A first-class candidate for pure devotional service, on the other hand, is neither completely disgusted nor attached to material life. He does not desire to pursue ordinary material existence any further because it cannot award real happiness. Nevertheless, a candidate for devotional service does not give up all hope for perfecting personal existence. A person who avoids the two extremes of material attachment and impersonal reaction to material attachment, and who somehow or the other gets the association of pure devotees, faithfully hearing their message, is a good candidate for going back home, back to Godhead, as described here by the Lord. Om Agyanda Timindasa Gyana Anjana Shalaga Chakshur Unmilitam Yenam Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So actually, in context of this previous two verses, actually, Bhagawan, when he's talking to Uddhava, Shri Krishna, he tells there are three paths of advancement, actually, two verses ago. And one is the path of knowledge, Jnana, the path of work, that is karma, and the path of devotion, that is bhakti. But and he clearly says that besides these three, there is no other paths of elevation. So there are a lot of different people in today's worlds may say there are different ways of reaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. or going back to his abode. But as mentioned also in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna again confirms this in two verses again. There are only three paths of advancement. One is jnana, one is karma, and one is bhakti. So also in the next verse, he again says that among the three paths, jnana yoga, the path of philosophical speculation, is recommended for those who are disgusted with material life and are detached from ordinary fruitive activities. So the meaning of this is, it happens many times in life that people undergo a lot of difficulties and they see the material universe, and whether it is adhyatmika klesha, adi bhautika klesha, or adi daivika klesha, which means either by miseries caused by one's own bodies and mind, or miseries caused by other jivatmas, or miseries caused by other adi devika klesha. I mean, one example can be given today is, from a philosophical, we can understand that natural calamities may happen because of adi devika klesha. So due to either those difficulties in life, or environments, or the difficulties caused by other people, or their own personal situation, they may take to jnana yoga. And in this situation, they get disgusted with material life and they say, we don't want to do anything with this material universe. And so we take the path of knowledge or jnana to undergo renunciation. Now, even in this, actually, it is said that there are two types of jnana. You know, those who become completely disgusted with material life, and then they take to negate everything material and say this whole world is impersonal, and we take to impersonal kind of liberation. Say, once we gain the knowledge, we merge into the energy of the Lord. This is one aspect of the jnana which comes. This is usually in the Advaitam or Mayavada philosophy, where people have this understanding. Now, of course, for those people who have no knowledge, this itself is a starting stage to come to the path of jnana, to understand that I'm in difficulty, because human life is the only form of life where a jivatma understands is undergoing that kind of difficulty. When a jivatma takes a lower bodily form of life, whether it be a fish or something in the ocean or an animal, it may realize pain, but it will never realize the understanding of why, what is the cause of the pain, and what can I do to get out of this suffering. That is bound by its laws of karma and the body it has taken. So human form of life gives us this opportunity to understand jnana. And that's why two verses ago, Lord says the three parts of elevation, elevating oneself, is jnana, karma, and bhakti. Now in jnana, sometimes people may undergo these difficulties due to the three kleshas, adi devika, adi bhautika, adhyatmika. And because of that, they may take to knowledge of realization. Some people may read different kinds of philosophy. You know, there are different religions. And this helps them at least maybe come to the root cause of why they are feeling like this, but never gives them the completeness. But ultimate jnana yoga is actually understanding who Bhagavan is, who Krishna is. What is our purpose? That we are jivatma and there is Bhagavan. This is actually the real understanding of knowledge. And as Prabhupada would say, one has to understand where the tree is, where the root is, where you water. So similarly, without this understanding, people will undergo the cycle of birth and death. There may be nothing wrong in that. And even for that, because as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that bhavanam janmanam ante jnanam mam prapadyate. That means after many, many human births of realization, not normal births, human births, and associating with Vaishnavas, that one comes to realize that Vasudeva Sarvamiti Savatmasu Durlabaha. So for those, even Krishna tells Uddhava that those who are not disgusted with material life, because majority of the people who are in Grastha Ashrama are, or even normal sense, are not disgusted. They may undergo difficulties. So for them, they may have many desires to fulfill. So there he says, Lord says, one should seek the perfection through the path of Karma Yoga. Now, what Karma Yoga? One may say, I may do this penance, I may do this activity, I may pray to the demigod, or I may pray directly to Krishna. But this is still kind of tainted with a tinge of material, benefit. And so, ultimately, the goal of a Karma Yogi should be understanding is, yat karosi yadasnasi yajjhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurusva madarpanam. That means one should offer all their fruits unto an offering unto Lord Krishna without expectation of any return. That all the fruits of the activities are his to enjoy. This eventually absolves us from the bounds of karma to the activity of the results. Otherwise, you will again be bound by enjoying the fruit of the results. You will again be bound by the actions of karma. And that will again cause further reactions. So, finally, in this verse then, as a summary, then Lord tells Uddhava that if somehow a good fortune, one develops faith in chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, by my glories, such a person neither is very disgusted nor attached to material life. Now, the question will come is, why is that? Yes, there may be many different jivatmas due to their karma will come to association of Lord's devotees through different means, and that is best described in Bhagavad Gita actually by the shloka Chaturvija Bhajante Mam Jana Sukrinto Arjuna Artho Jigyasur Arthati Jnani Jatsa Bharatar Sabaha. There are four kinds of pious men who come to me. Pious men. Lord in the previous verse explains the four kinds of people who don't come to him. Now Lord says, who are the four kinds of people who directly approach me? One who is distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for the knowledge of the absolute. So obviously, all the pious men, they somehow experience some difficulty. And due to their past association or with Vaishnavas, they come to realize somehow that Vasudeva is the supreme. But it is not at pure devotional service yet. So they start practicing Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has propagated Harinam Sankirtanam. Because in Kali Yuga, there is going to be distress. Without this distress, I mean, if everyone were happy, one can say, in a material, in a sense, we can say, in many of the developed countries today, we see a lot of people have a lot of the facilities. And if you see majority of the people who are in extremely opulent phase of life, they may worship the Lord due to some piousness activity, but there is no attribute of, you know, what is the devotional loving service to Lord. And many of them who come from a pious background, after they experience all these material benefits, they say there is no need to worship God. I mean, they are, because of the laws of karma and association in Kali Yuga, they say that my own propensity to work and my own skill has got me so much happiness. So why do I need Bhagawan? What is the value of Bhagawan itself? So then the point comes is, as that's why Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Dukhalayam Vashashvatam is present, this material universe. So eventually at some point, the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of absolute will come. But pure devotional service actually is without aspiration and without desire for material profit. That is the highest stage. So as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says that Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavratam Anukulenu Krishna Anushilanam Bhaktir Uttama. That one should try to render devotional service to Lord favorably without desire for material profit or gain. Yes, it is very difficult in the initial stages. But Lord actually tells Uddhava, it is okay. You at least come worship me, you ask me. But then he says, in Bhagavad Gita, you offer your fruits unto me. So this is the first stage. Eventually, one will start developing detachment. One may have to do an activity to maintain his house, his family and everything. But one will come to realization that not even a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan Krishna. So, when one starts realizing this, many people also, worship a lot of other demigods. There is no harm, I mean, people who come eventually at some stage have to worship some demigod or the other through the Vedic philosophy. And eventually they come to realize that actually the demigods cannot give anything out of their own free will. They are also authoritative, they are representatives of Krishna and they are authorized by him. So, only when Lord Krishna says, that they also give, as it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that because of my knowledge I give to them, men will worship demigods. And eventually they come to realize me as the supreme. So this is the gist of why Lord is saying, Now, in terms of the four men which we see, few examples can be given, right? For Artha, I mean, in distress. One classical example can be given is Gajendram. So, Gajendra, of course, as we know, was a king of elephants. But in his previous life, he was King Indradumna. And it so happened that he was also very pious. But when Agastya Muni was passing, he decided not, he was so much in ecstasy of the Lord that he decided not to get up and offer obeisances, you know, show respect to the sage. So Agastya Muni cursed him that because of your pride and you didn't recognize me, you will be cursed to become an elephant. Of course, King Indradumna asked for forgiveness and he says, but yes, the boon will be that when you will be relieved when Lord Vishnu comes and liberates you. Also, it so happened that there was a king, a Gandharva king called King Huhu. And he was one day in a pond bathing and it so seemed that he pulled a sage's legs. So the sage cursed him that you should become a crocodile. And it so happened that, you know, of course, he was also very repentive for his action. And sometimes it is said that curse from a very spiritually advanced person, I should say this, from a very spiritually advanced person is beneficial because that induces one to be humble enough and repent in one's own actions. So it so happened that King Hu got cursed to become a crocodile and Indradumna became an elephant, king of elephants. And it so happened that as he was enjoying his life as an elephant, he forgot completely. He had herds of elephants. And one day when he went into the pond to bathe, the river, basically he saw that the crocodile came and caught his leg. Usually, a crocodile is an amphibious kind of animal, whereas an elephant is a land animal. So usually to talk a little bit of scientific aspect itself, people say that Vedic philosophy is not scientific. Actually, it is extremely scientific. In fact, as we know, the universe is created by the sound vibration Om. You know, every atom, every molecule has an inherent vibration, actually, a frequency. So, just for those people who may think that, you know, universe is, you know, our Vedic philosophy is not purely scientific. So, you know, even our bodily composition actually, based on, you know, crocodile where it is and a land animal where it is, the crocodile is suited to live either on land or on water, but the elephant cannot. So, as soon as the crocodile caught Gajendra's leg, he continued to fight. Gajendra was very strong. And it so happened that eventually they fought for thousands of years. And ultimately the elephant could not, Gajendra could not hold him. He could not pull himself out. And eventually he started losing its strength. Initially you would see that the Gajendra's family, all his she elephants and all his cousins and everyone tried to help him out. But eventually they realized that there was it was a losing battle. The crocodile was going to win. And it so happened that all his relatives, everyone abandoned him. And the meaning of this in Bhagavatam, it is so important to us to understand that as much as we have relationships with everyone around us, people who may be directly related by blood or not by blood, eventually a jivatma has to quit his body. And in that process, actually, yes, when devotees are there, they do chant, but it is up to the jivatma to remember the Lord. It is up to see how the jivatma in his whole lifetime has dedicated himself into the service of the Lord remembrance. Because of his past birth, eventually Gajendra realizes that he is going to lose his life. And at that point, he remembers his past life, his pious activities as a Vaishnava king. And he starts remembering the Lord. He prays to Lord Vishnu at that time and prays to him by glorifying him. You know, finally, after he glorifies the Lord, Lord Vishnu comes immediately, he hears his devotee. And he comes on Garuda. And it is said that initially when Vishnu came on Garuda, he first swirled a few times around Gajendra. He wanted to see the mellow of his devotee, just like a mother may see a child, oh, she's crying, you know, just wanted to observe how much love she has, he has for me. And then finally, Lord got down and he used his Sudarshan Chakra and he chopped the crocodile's head. Immediately, two beautiful bodies emerged from both of these creatures, from Gajendra as well as King Hu. They both got Sarupya Mukti, they immediately got liberated. So, this is one pastime to exalt that how a person who is in distress, as said in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturbhuja Bhajante Mam, is an example of Artha. Another example can be given of Artha Artharthi is Dhruva Maharaj. So, Dhruva Maharaj, of course, was a young boy and his father was Uttanapada. And it so happened that, Uttanapada had two wives, Suruchi and Suniti. And it so happened that Suniti was the wife who was favored by Uttanapada. So once they both had sons. And it so happened that Dhruva Maharaj once went to sit on the lap of his father. And in the course of the action, his stepmother saw him and she chastised him that you are qualified to sit on your father's lap, but you will not be a king because you are not born for my womb. So obviously this hurts Dhruva Maharaj very, very deeply. And in the search of this, he goes crying back to his mother. So obviously at that point, he decides to go in search. Yes, his initial aspect in search was the material benefit, to enjoy the benefit. But so in the course of action, he goes to the forest and there on advice of his mother, he meets Narada Muni. And Narada Muni advises him to chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Dhruva, as a young boy in a forest, starts actually practicing meditation and meditating on the Lord's name, Sravanam Kirtanam, in that age. He chanted the Lord's name. And in this, he chanted, though he had a tinge of material benefit and material benefit to be desired, his desire to see the Lord was very pure. His desire to experience the Lord, I want to see the Lord, was very pure. And it so happened, the first month actually when he chants, he is practicing on every fruit. You know, he's only eating normal food. The second month from the forest, he only eats fruits. The third month, he only eats leaves. Fourth month, he only eats barks. The fifth month, he is only living on air. And sixth month, he even stops breathing. So eventually, because of his penance, the demigods, everyone starts choking. They cannot breathe. Indra and everyone, they are choking. And finally, Lord comes and blesses Dhruva with all the benefits which he requires. So this is another example given. Of course, in the course of time, because of his unalloyed devotion which came indirectly, and that is why we say that chanting of the Lord's name is so important, in any age, actually speaking. We say Kali Yuga is important, but chanting of the Lord is always important in any age. One should not expect that in Satya Yuga people would only do penance. They also would chant. Yes, the benefit of doing penance and other sacrifice may be less in this age because it's very difficult to follow in Kali Yuga. But nonetheless, one cannot ignore the fact that in other Yugas people did not chant the Lord's name. They would always chant. But in Kali Yuga, it is recommended that one should chant the holy names of the Lord because that will purify oneself. And that is stage of Anartha Nivritti, is removing all the unwanted kind of qualities which we have. But eventually, as it is written in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that it will become unalloyed devotional service, which is, without expectation or motive or return. The stage will come is when you chant, is what can I do to experience the Lord? How can I serve his devotees or him personally? That may be a stage. Of course, part of material life may be asking for benefits, but that is only a general part of it. So this example, these two examples which kind of help us understand that how Dhruva Maharaj as a young boy chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And even Gajendra, there is a very beautiful description of Gajendra Moksham prayers, of how he prays to Lord. And it's a very detailed kind of description of how he remembers the Lord. And that is why we also say that Shravanam, you know, to remember the Lord is also important. You know, when we chant, that's, we concentrate on the holy name of the Lord, the sound vibration. But it is also important sometimes when we look at the deity or we are at our home, we meditate to think about the Lord, think about his pastimes, think about his bodily features. You know, how beautiful he must be looking. Just like, for example, many people of us go to visit Vrindavan, go visit Mayapur. We may today, yes, we live in 21st century and we live in, of course, there are a lot of modern facilities around. But could one take a step as we chant and then imagine how beautiful it would have been when actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually there chanting his pastimes? Yes, externally you will see the road, you will see the noise, that is a different story. When you close your eyes for a moment, can one imagine, or in Vrindavan, what the smell of the soil would have been when it rained and Krishna would play with his friends? That is the stage one should start developing. One should start aspiring. Right? It is nice to see things of natural beauty, but would also start to aspire. That is kind of meditating on the pastimes of the Lord. When we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, or when we read Bhagavatam, when we read other Puranas, that is the aspect one should focus on eventually. You know, we can remember many things in life. Just like, for example, we remember Srila Prabhupada, we remember his pastimes. How nice it has been when, for example, right? Today people may go to New York City and see Tompkins Square and say, this is where he chanted. How the experience would have been when he actually came at that time. How he chanted to people, right? How merciful he was to other devotees. The same way even with the Lord's pastimes. That's what, that is called meditating on the Lord's pastimes. So, of course, this is not going to come. That's why it is said here that if somehow by good fortune one develops faith in hearing, but neither being disgusted nor attached. Now, yes, attachment will only go slowly and steadily. It cannot, you cannot, one cannot become detached. But this is called balanced way, right? It is, as Prabhupada would say, that one should try to use as much as possible everything for Lord's service, right? Not being disgusted. Like in today's world, cell phone has become, I mean, 20 years ago it was different. Today, cell phone has become kind of a necessity. I mean, when I say necessity, I mean in work, I don't know, it depends on people. Some cannot, you cannot even log into your work email without having a email access, like some kind of passcode verification. And a lot of people use cell phone for sharing, you know, Lord Krishna's pictures, you know, WhatsApp groups and everything. Whatever may be the minimal, one must try to restrict as much as possible to not living your life only on cell phone. One must also chant the Lord's name, that is important. So that's why it is said that hearing and chanting my glories is also important. So Lord clearly stresses here that out of the three paths, the devotional path, the path of devotional loving service is actually the best. But it also does not mean that one will come to that path straight away. That is for Nitya Siddhas, those who are already elevated. All other Jivatmas come progressing through lifetime after lifetime. And we all eventually gain knowledge, you know, in chunks and our realization, or through association of Vaishnavas. For example, one can say that, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the pious man may follow some devotional activities today and he may leave it, and he will take birth in pious, come and come back again and start the process again. And this applies to all of us. Many people also take to Vaishnava philosophy and culture, right? Some aspire and they try it for a long time. Due to some aspect or reason, we cannot judge them, and we should not judge them also. They may not pursue it at some point in their life, but it is great. We should be very happy that at least they were able to, in this lifetime, have the aspect. Like, many people go for book distribution and they get the book, and many of us have done it before. That's a great benefit, because by that they get the association of the scripture. Some of them may take it in this lifetime, some of them may not take it in this lifetime. But our duty is to give them the opportunity, right, to see the knowledge, right, to get the jnana which is required. Because only by jnana eventually one will realize. Like, for example, even when we chanted,
Someone has told us after at some point when we, and it applies to all of us, right? Someone told us why you should chant the Lord's name. Even as a child, or even if some people come in association with Prabhupada or other spiritual masters, right? So that is why the importance of Vaishnava is placed so highly in our philosophy. Because without Vaishnava, him passing the knowledge on, there can be no progress to Jivatmas like us. And it is also inherently a great happiness for other Jivatmas when that realization comes that you pass this knowledge on to other Jivatmas to enjoy the same bliss what they are experiencing. So, in short, that's why this verse is very important actually, to say that one should neither be too disgusted and nor be too attached to material life. And that is the kind of balance will come eventually by only associating with devotees and by chanting the Lord's name. So, I will just end today's class here if some people have questions or comments to add. No, actually it's right, Prabhuji. I mean, if you think about it, a Gopa or Gopi in Vrindavan, do they really need knowledge? Actually, no. Right? But you see, they are Nitya Siddhas. Let us, that's where it is correct. For example, we take it Prabhupada. Prabhupada was, I mean, he's an elevated person. Right? All this knowledge, these books, why did he had to acquire this knowledge? To pass it on to us. Did Prabhupada need this knowledge to understand the taste and relish what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said? No. He did it for us. The effort for Prabhupada to sit at his last moments, you know, before he quit his body and chant is for us, not for him. So he is already relishing. And you are right, Prabhuji, that Dhruva Maharaj, right? He didn't have knowledge. That the word, why that is important, the example of Dhruva Maharaj is, Dhruva did not understand Vedas. He just knew, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, I just need to meditate on the Supreme Lord. Right? So, you are correct. That is why actually it is said that the holy name is inclusive of everything. And calling out, so for example, bhakti is called actually devotion, bhakti is the word, is devotional service. So calling Krishna's name, if one is with the Lord, that itself is the loving exchange. Right? And that is what is important. Loving exchange is what Lord wants in any of the rasas. It doesn't matter, either one of them. And you are right, Prabhuji, that for like the Brahmana's wives, right? They didn't know all the knowledge. They just had the love and devotion. Right? We can even take Meera's example, Mirabai's example. She was only loving the Lord. She did not have all the knowledge. Right? But sometimes some of this knowledge is required to propagate it and help other Jivatmas. Because many of the Jivatmas, they will have these questions. Why? Why should we worship the Lord? Why is He supreme? So ultimately, actually if you see, all the knowledge of this Jnana is from the Lord only and through His associates who take incarnation, who come, you know, to the material universe. So, Prabhuji, you are correct, as Haridas Thakur says, that one really doesn't need all the knowledge to do bhakti and to love Lord. To love a child, do you need knowledge? There is no knowledge required to love a child. For example, if you have a child at your home, no one needs to have knowledge to say how you love a child. Right? That is all Lord Krishna wants. So, it's correct, Prabhuji. I mean, it's a kind of balance, right? Yes. To really love the Lord, all this knowledge is not 100%. It's not a prerequisite. But many of us come through that way, right? And to help others understand and come to this process. So, maybe that adds a little more, I mean. Right. No, I mean, you're right, Prabhuji. I mean, no one's saying that. Here also Lord doesn't say that one has to go only in one. No, there's nothing saying like that. And all it's saying is, see, to develop faith, to chant and everything, as you said, bhakti itself, it's a complete in its process, and there's nothing different about it. But a person who does bhakti yoga, for example, also follows jnana yoga. Eventually, indirectly, for example, us, do we follow dhyana? Yes, it is. Yeah, that is. Prabhuji, they will not. No, Prabhuji, it means that one. So for example, and it just applies to all of us. It's a good point that the general person who is coming. For example, let us take a person who is completely not following any of. Let's say he's. I want to use milder words. Someone who is not following four regulative principles. So let's put it that way. Just in a very generic term, right? Same. For him, or someone who has no exposure or doesn't know what Lord Krishna is, right? He's a jivatma. He also, his jivatma knows what Lord is. Of course he knows, but it is bound by all the coverings. So for him, the first instruction which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Right? And the jnana, what we talk, is not the jnana of a book, actually. The jnana that is eventually required when you chant, even for a jivatma to come out of that covering, when he chants the Lord's name, the jnana will be is, I am spirit soul. That is, that sambandha is what is actually. Eventual, the knowledge of what jnana, for example, the jnana will be, for us jnana is, why do we take a bath before we go into altar? I'm using an example, right? There are different levels of jnana knowledge. But for example, yes, we are not that elevated that I can say without a bath I can go into. Yes, if a jivatma truly is so advanced, you can be like Bharata, Jada Bharata and go. But that doesn't apply to all of us. That's what my father was implying that. So the jnana itself of bhakti, that sambandha has to come. After that, other things, how they, is it based on every jivatma's individuality and how his worship, how his love develops actually. Yeah. That is. Yeah, it's not. Yes, that is what. Yes, yes. No, it is. That's why I said the best example is, do we really need. We don't need any knowledge to love a child. There is no knowledge required. That is the best example one can give actually. Many people worship Lord Krishna in their homes as Nattu Gopal. They don't need to know anything. You really didn't need to know anything. But when the point happens is, when you actually worship, you must have seen, they worship the Lord. Oh, I get up in the morning, I take a bath, I want to prepare something for my Nattu Gopal. So, all that, what we call knowledge, it just naturally comes. That is what it is actually. But majority people, and that is their piousness, that is their association of Vaishnavas. But lot of the Jivatmas, they will not be, it's natural. They will not be able to come to that. And for that why Lord gives actually. Right. Whoever is your instruction. But majority, as you know, in this universe, that is why actually the verse that Bhavanam Janmanandate it says is not one human birth. It's actually millions of human births one has to take. And that's why, as you say, Lord has a chapter called Dhyana Yoga in Bhagavad Gita. It's called Karma Yoga in chapter. Because the general jivatmas will not come. If someone asks me, is this my first lifetime? No. I don't know, millions of lifetimes I've taken and realized, and then I'm finally understanding even some aspect of the worship of Lord. Right? And that bhakti slowly develops. Because, as I said, that sambandha or jnana is not, generally people associate jnana with a book. Actually, that is, book is a written medium. Understanding wisdom, you know, the wisdom or knowledge inside is more important. See, actually, no, and the biggest problem is actually, truly bhakti, if you think, doesn't need to be infused with this much jnana. The only reason is because jivatmas are covered in these modes of material nature. They need that aspect. And that's why I use the example. There is no need of Prabhupada or even other acharyas or Vaishnava acharyas to write so much scriptures, so much explanation to all of the same point, they reiterate it. And actually you can say it is that every jivatma sometimes, it's like the best example I can give is no two people will like the same flavor of ice cream. Though I'm just using an example. I mean, maybe very simple example. You know, the milk may be the same. You know, some people, or the best example to use is some may like saffron taste in milk. Some will like a different taste in milk. I'm using an example like it is. So the Lord's devotion, the love for Lord and devotion for Lord is always sweet. It's just that every jivatma may not like the same. So that's why acharyas have to give this knowledge out to make one understand. But yes, it is critical. Right. Correct. No, that's right. And actually, other thing is said, Prabhuji, is, you know, once one realizes that Lord Krishna is supreme, you know, I want to serve the supreme Lord. My question, it applies to all of us. Do I really need to read so much of this? No, but why you read it is because you have to tell other people. That is the material universe you have taken, and that is all it is. So as I said, every jivatma, and I may have told this before in other classes, that one can never trace or understand how each jivatma takes to the process of devotional service and how they come in. And it doesn't matter, actually, it doesn't matter how they come. As long as we know they are going to come, that is what is enough. Just like, as I said, you may distribute a book to someone. It's okay. There is no guarantee for 100% we know in this lifetime he may come. But he has got it. That is our work. We don't worry about the fruit of the result when we distribute the book or anything, whether we do any service to him. That is not my Lord. He is, after all, your child. I mean, I am a jivatma like you. I am already here. So as long as he got it, that is all my duty is. So, no, thank you for the nice point. I'm sure it helped a lot of people. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Vrindaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.